There are three passages today for our scripture readings. The first is just one verse, which will be a part of all four of our Advent sermons in this series. And then there's a passage from Isaiah and also a passage from Romans. So listen now to Isaiah 9:2. You heard it read also in the Advent lighting. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. And from Isaiah 11, verses 1 through 10, a shoot shall come out from the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by what his eyes see or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion of the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples, and the nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious. And now from Romans 15. For whatever was written in the former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he may confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. And again he says, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the people praise him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse shall come, the one who rises to rule the Gentiles, in him the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the Lord bless to our understanding the readings from his word. I ask you this morning, are you waiting for Christmas? Are you excited for Christmas? If you are excited, are you waiting for presents to come, or maybe family to be a part of your life in abundance? Or maybe you're looking forward to good food, a special dish that somebody makes every year that you only get once a year. And especially if you're children and you're with us. I know Christmas is usually a fun time. There's presents under the tree, and there's hot chocolate and Santa Claus and all kinds of good things, right? And anybody who works, any of you work in a situation where bonuses are given at the end of the year? I think Christmas is always a sign that your bonus if you're fortunate enough to work in that kind of a field, is maybe potentially coming. But there's others of you, and I heard the grumblings already, that maybe you're waiting for Christmas to be over already. Perhaps it's because it seems to be a burden on top of everything else that you're doing. And you've got, if you're a working mom, for instance, and you work full time, and then you've got, you know, your kids and all of their busy schedules, and then suddenly you have 30 people coming to dinner, and you have, you know, activities you have to do, and presents you have to buy, and figuring out the finances, and all the realities of Christmas. It's sometimes not something that you're waiting for expectantly. My dad, when he was in ministry a while ago, had sort of an interesting experience. He worked at Shadyside, which is a very wealthy part of Pittsburgh. And he was in the church there with the youth group, and he was talking to them about what was going to happen at Christmas. And the kids were talking about trips to Bermuda and Aruba and all these beautiful places and Disney World and, you know, abundance of presents, including new cars and stereos and all these things. And that's way back when my dad was first in ministry, so you can imagine how wealthy those families might have been, right? But at the same time, being faithful in ministry, he also volunteered in service in an area of Pittsburgh called the Hillside. It's where he grew up. And he would go over there and he would meet with their kids, those kids in that youth group, and he would say, "Are you looking forward to Christmas? You know, what's exciting for you?" And the stories would be blatantly different. You know, "Oh, it means my dad might be home, you know, drinking all day and maybe fighting with my mom, or maybe, you know, we'll be worried that we won't have enough to eat, or we might get kicked out of our house again." And the stories are real, right? I mean, some of us await Christmas because it's full of wonderful things, right? And full of happy memories. Others of us, Christmas brings with it a lot of things. Maybe you miss a loved one that is no longer with us, or, you know, or maybe it's just tough for a variety of reasons. So I ask again, are you waiting for Christmas? I think as your pastor, I'll remind you that we should be waiting for Christmas. But maybe it's not the Christmas that we've let it become in our own cultural and practices, right? We should wait for the hope that comes in Jesus Christ, who is born on Christmas Day. If you read Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King Jr., but the Martin Luther from back in the Reformation days, he says a very beautiful phrase. "Unless Christ is born in you on Christmas Eve, it doesn't matter what else happens. Jesus Christ has to be born anew in your heart on Christmas." I think about hope and what it means. It's kind of really interesting if you study the scriptures about it, because it starts as early as the story of Genesis, where we have Adam and Eve in the garden. Do you remember them? They kind of had some choices to make, right? And they didn't always make the right ones. And suddenly they were cast out of the Garden of Eden, and bad things were predicted to happen to them. And bad things did happen to them. But if we think that the only thing about life is the curse for wrongdoing and for burden and for bad things to happen, if that's really what life is all about, then there is no hope, is there? But the good news is this, that in God, even though these two people, Adam and Eve, made wrong choices and there were consequences for their actions, ultimately it wasn't forever. Because the hope for Adam and Eve is that God will forgive them and did forgive them and restore them. And that same hope is for each of us, that in Jesus Christ we are redeemed and there is hope for our lives. Think back to the story of Moses. Do you remember him? When he was first born and he was among the young boys of the Israelites born under two. And what would have happened to him? Do you remember? He would have died, right? He would have been killed. And instead his mom had hope, right? That something amazing would happen in his life. and she hid him in a basket, and she put him into the water, and he drifted down the river and was recovered into the Pharaoh's home and would go on to do amazing things with his life. Hope is also in the story of David, where we know that he made wrong choices too, right? I mean, he fell in love with a married woman. And instead of ignoring that desire for her, he went after her anyway and lived a life of sort of some wrong choices. But when he was held accountable, he was humble and he asked for forgiveness. And David is a sign of hope. I think of Rahab the harlot and all that she was and how the society had kind of, you know, written her off. She wasn't worthy, right? And yet God had a purpose for her life. We live in hope. We live in faith and not by sight, Paul says. And if we really study all the passages of the Bible, we will realize that hope is the message that it portrays from the very first story until the end of Revelation. I think about even the disciples and what they had to go through to follow Jesus. They had to give up all of their lives, their families, the places they lived, the things they enjoyed, their careers. And for 3 years, they followed Jesus everywhere and didn't always get warmly received or welcomed in the places that they went. And I think indeed of other people who are living faithful lives that are in challenging circumstances. I mentioned in our prayer our military serving around the world. I think of people that live in countries where freedoms are not easily given to them, where people that even in our own country are burdened with poverty or illness or struggling. What is the message at Christmas of hope for them? We hope indeed, that it is a message that gives them enough desire to know that there is more than what is right in front of them. Emil Brunner, who is a neo-Orthodox theologian, he's really famous actually in the theological circles. He's next in the neo-Orthodoxy theologians to Karl Barth. You might know more about him. And he has a whole book on hope. If any of you can read German, you can check it out and read it. It hasn't been translated yet. But he has this wonderful phrase in this book on hope that I absolutely love. He says, what oxygen is to the lungs, such is hope to the meaning of life. For think about it, without oxygen, where would we be, right? Well, we certainly wouldn't be breathing, right? We can't get along without it. I mean, my mom, unfortunately, has been burdened with, I think it's called COPD, is that the diagnosis, right? Where, I mean, God bless her, she coughs pretty much most of every day. And for her to grasp the air that she breathes is very challenging, right? You know somebody that might be burdened with asthma or other breathing difficulties, they know the value of oxygen, I'll tell you what, because when it's not in their lungs, it's almost suffocating. You know, you feel the life coming out of you. Well, what Emil is saying to us is that if we didn't have hope, if we didn't have hope inside of us, it's as if we couldn't catch a breath. If we didn't believe that God would take care of us, then what good news do we have to share with the next generation? I'm going to close with a story that's actually kind of unusual. There's a commercial out there on TV right now. Some of us were fortunate a couple of weeks ago to go visit the Ronald McDonald House. Have you guys ever been there? By the way, they need supplies. Elizabeth has a list of what they need, so if you want to donate some supplies to them, we can do that. But it's a place where if your loved one, you've been there, right? Where your loved one is sick, especially if it's a child, you can come and stay at this house, you know, and be there, right? It's usually near a hospital or near transportation to a hospital. And there's food there for you. There's a place to store food if you want to bring your own. There's a place to sleep. There's a beautiful space for kids to hang out. It's all theirs. I mean, it's amazing down in the basement. It's beautiful. But there's a commercial right now out for the Ronald McDonald House. You might have seen it, but in case you haven't, it's kind of like if you've ever been to McDonald's, which I know has its strengths and weaknesses. I'm not promoting McDonald's today. I'm promoting the Ronald McDonald House. But all the same, they give Happy Meals. Have you guys ever had a Happy Meal? Yeah? Ever? Okay. And usually it has little handles and it has like golden arches at the top, you know, and it's this box. And the best thing about the Happy Meal is not the delicious food, right? Because if you're a kid, you know exactly which is the best thing about a Happy Meal. It's the toy, right? You get this present inside of it. So this commercial is brilliant. All these kids are on this commercial. Has anybody seen this commercial? Okay. Yeah, right. And so they got this box, okay? And they're so excited. You know, they eat the food and everything's yummy. And then they're like looking in the box. You know, they're like this. Whoa. And they're like shaking it upside down. And they're like, where's the toy? Where's my thing? And they're like all confused. You know, I mean, they look down in and they tear it apart. And, you know, I mean, they're just completely overwhelmed because there's the best thing about the Happy Meal is missing. There's no toy, right? And then you hear in the background the announcer or whoever is doing the commercial say, there's something really special in that box. Something fabulous. There's hope in that box. And the kid once again is like, you know, I can't see hope. What are you talking about? You know, I mean, just totally confused, you know, reaching inside. Hope, where is it? Right? It's a great commercial. I mean, there's not a lot of great ones out there, but it is. And in the end, do you get it? We sometimes can't see hope ourselves, right? I mean, we're looking in the box, and we're emptying it upside down, and we're reaching for it, and we're tearing things apart, and we're like, where's the gift? Where's the hope, right? And yet these little kids, right? I mean, the contribution from their gift of that box supports the Ronald McDonald House. And another kid gets to have a place to sleep at night that's safe when they're going through troubled times. And as those kids get older, hopefully their parents or their teachers or their coaches or their neighbors or their friends or their aunts or their uncles will teach them about hope. Because at the end of the day, if you don't have hope, you don't have anything. I'm going to close with verse 15:13 from Romans. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope for now and forevermore. Amen.